on another Sunday. Amen? Let's see. Two city slickers went to a dude ranch while in Texas. The cowboy preparing the horses asked if the wife wanted a Western or an English saddle. And she asked what the difference was. He explained that one had a horn and one didn't. The one without the horn is fine, she replied. I don't expect we'll be running into much traffic. let's see. Chuck Norris wears bear traps on his feet instead of sandals. Of course, the old standby, when Chuck Norris falls into water, Chuck Norris doesn't get wet, the water gets Chuck Norris'd. Chuck Norris once went to the Super Bowl. He beat the Steelers 45-3. let's see. The eternal conundrum, what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object, was finally solved when Chuck Norris punched himself in the face. Let's see. For every answer on the SAT test, write in Chuck Norris. You'll automatically score 1,600. Let's see. Chuck Norris is the only man alive who knows when Brett Favre will retire. Let's see. Chuck Norris is not afraid to step on landmines. Landmines are afraid that Chuck Norris will step on them. And one of my new favorites, giraffes are the result of a Chuck Norris uppercut punch to a horse. Oh, let's see. Democratic lawmakers and conservative group exchange accusations of voter intimidation. I can't even bear that again this morning. Here's one, though. In the Maldives, they apologized to a couple conned by a Maldives marriage officiator. In Sri Lanka, two Swiss tourists who chose the Maldives white sand beaches as a setting to renew their marriage vows were instead mocked by the officiator, who chanted abuse and curses at in the local language at the unsuspecting couple. The ceremony was posted on YouTube. The Maldivian president, Mohamed Nasheed, personally apologized to the couple in a telephone conversation Saturday afternoon, his office said in a statement. A video of the ceremony said to have taken place on October 11th, during which the hapless couple were taunted and subjected to insulting and religious-tinged abuse. You say, what was that all about? The officiator who was doing the ceremony for their, you know, renewing their vows on the beach, basically in the local language so that they couldn't understand, was saying things like, "You are swine," the couple was told. "The children that you bear from this marriage will all be bastard swine. Your marriage is not a valid one. You are not the kind of people who can have a valid marriage. One of you is an infidel. The other two is an infidel, and we have reason to believe an atheist." Yeah, it was a Muslim. They were doing that in the local language. And this couple was standing there and assuming that they were doing their vows, and it was kind of a neat thing. So that's what they really think of you. Isn't that something? And do what? Yeah. They ought to be count it fortunate they got out of there with their head still on their shoulders, right? On a lighter note, something that near and dear to all of us, welcome to the future. Tubeless toilet paper. Life is full of many frustrations, but none so great as getting the last piece of toilet paper off the cardboard tube. Now the Kimberly-Clark Corporation, the global producer of paper-based products, may have the solution that will rid people of the struggles. Monday marks the launch of Kimberly-Clark's new Scott Natural tube-free toilet paper. Just as the name asserts, the rolls come void of those pesky cardboard tubes while still being able to fit on the average toilet paper holder. Next week, the TP will be sold in roughly 200 Walmarts and Sam's Clubs in the Northeast. Never mind. Here's the best part of it. And the benefits aren't just in favor of the consumer, Kimberly-Clark estimates that the U.S. alone disposes of 17 billion cardboard tubes from bathroom tissue, equating to 160 pounds of waste. To put that in perspective, that's roughly the weight of 250 747s and enough tubes to circle the equator 40 times. Daniel says that this marriage of consumer and ecological advantages will pave the way for success of the tubeless initiative. So I guess, the American intuitiveness and inventiveness is still in high swing. All right, how do we transition from that out of there? Do I get another Chuck Norris joke or something? Because there's got to be something. Let's see. All right, I kind of struggled with what to come up with for a topic here this morning. And just several different things and looking over and just had a real hard time. And I had a few ideas, but, nothing that the Lord seemed to put his hand on. So I decided that I'd probably better do something that I was an expert in. I figured I could at least, at least pull out one of my strengths and maybe pass along a few pointers and things to be a benefit and a help to you. And before you think that I'm, too full of pride and, too arrogant here this morning, let me just say that I have been saved for 41 years. About 41 years, amen? That's quite a long time. I got saved when I was about six, seven years old as a little kid growing up, grew up in a Christian home. And after 41 years of being a Christian, folks, you learn a few things. You learn a few things. And, even by accident, I mean, there's that saying, of course, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. But after 41 years of being a Christian, I have an area of expertise I'd like to cover this morning. And that area is simply this. It's simply backsliding. Amen? I mean, after 41 years of being a Christian, you figure it's bound to have happened at least, at least 82 plus times, at least a couple times a year for 6 months each. You'll get it in a second. The topic this morning is backslider. If you will, open your Bibles to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. Now, folks, we're getting ready to go into a revival. And I'm sure Brother Stevens has probably already thought about several messages that he would like to preach on, leading up to and getting ready to go into this revival here in just, just a little over a week. But Lord laid this one on my heart. Proverbs 14, take a look down in verse 14. And Proverbs 14:14 simply says this. It says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to bless what we're trying to do here this morning. Now, Father, once again, we come to your book, and Lord, you know we are a needy people, but you're a great and a mighty God and a forgiving God and a loving God. And Father, your desire is for us, to each and every one of us, to draw close to you and to be the type of Christians, Father, that we ought to be. And Lord, you know that's a struggle for us. Our flesh fights against us. The world fights against us. We fight against ourselves. But Father, give us strength. Give us wisdom. Help us to put some things maybe in our life in perspective, a better perspective. And help us, Father, to have a desire to love you and to move closer to your will in our life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is you all know that each and every one of us backslide, probably much more than we would really care to admit. It is just part of the nature of the beast. It's part of the curse of being human. Folks, it's part of everyday life that we've got to face. I mean, every day, every moment that we're awake, we face the possibility of taking a step backwards away from the Lord Jesus Christ rather than closer towards him. And that's a battle. That's a battle that each and every one of you, if you're saved here this morning, is well familiar with. It's hard to stay fired up and walk with the Lord day after day after day after day after day. It's hard to stay that excited about anything day after day after day after day. Right? One day leads into the next, and folks, there's pressures on it. There's pressures on you. It's hard to keep winning spiritual battles day after day after day. The fight is long. I mean, we're faced with that fight, and after a while, you know what? After a while, you get fatigued. It's hard to continue to give of yourself when it seems like there'll be nothing left over for anyone else. It's hard to put yourself second and give of yourself to somebody else when, you know, you're trying to do the best that you can, and sometimes you wonder if anybody at all appreciates what you're trying to do. Sometimes, folks, it's just hard to look out and actually just see the need to fight a particular battle. It just is. You know what? It really is. And everybody goes through it. We all face it. We all have to, you know, we all have to get up out of bed in the morning and figure out what we're going to do for the day. And we're faced with rather we're going to spend some time in prayer or rather we're, you know, what exactly what it is we're going to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have struggles of rather we want to hand a tract to some, you know, somebody at a register or rather we're just in a hurry and we just continue on down the road because we need to be somebody else, someplace else. Backsliding. Folks, we all backslide. What is backsliding? I mean, you know, really, what is backsliding? Turn to Romans chapter 2 real quick. Romans chapter 2. And I just put down two things here real simple. And this is nothing earth-shattering. This is nothing that probably every one of you out here in the congregation don't already know. But you know what? It's good to be reminded of it. It's good to be thinking about it as we head into a time of revival. And Romans 2:15 says this. It says, and you know the context, but it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, are accusing or else excusing one another. Now, folks, we've all been there. And what is backsliding? Backsliding is when we refuse to listen like we used to listen. Backsliding is just simply, I mean, part of one of the aspects of backsliding, and I have two to get started with here this morning. One of the aspects of backsliding is just we don't listen like we used to listen. You remember back there in the day, there used to be a time where you just got saved and this Christianity thing was new, and maybe you got, you know, maybe you were lost before and in a different church, and you saw some things that really opened your eyes, and it was all new, and you had that hunger and that desire to learn as much as you could. Because you realize I've been missing a whole lot of stuff. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and Christianity has kind of been a normal part of your life the whole way through. But I'm sure somewhere along the road there came a time where you realized, wait a minute, this stuff that my mom and dad have been teaching me is more important than what I've given, you know, than what I've thought heretofore. There, you reach that time in your life where Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible and what God's really all about becomes very intensely important to you. I hope you've been there. I hope you've seen that. I hope you've experienced that. And, you know, what do you do during that time? You know what you do? You perk up your ears and you sit back and you soak everything in and you listen and you examine your life and you look at yourself and you say, what am I? Who am I? What am I all about? What's going on, right? What do I need to change? Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to be? Lord, I'll do anything you want. Just tell me. You go through, you read your Bible, you come to church, you hear sermons, and, you know, something is touched upon, and you hear it, and it affects you. It affects you. And you get rid of things in your life, and you start things in your life, and, you know, life is grand, and things are going really good, and you're happy, and you go along, and then, you know, day by day happens. And weeks turn into months, and months turn into years, and sometimes, folks, years turn into decades. And pretty soon, it's easy, folks, it's easy to get to the point where we just don't listen like we used to. It's easy to get to the point where we come and we hear the same sermon, or a sermon on the same topic, and we still have the same problem, but it doesn't affect us like it used to. Our ears have become dull of hearing. You know, you say, what is backsliding? What is backsliding? Backsliding, you know, in a real simple form is, I don't listen like I should. I hear, but I don't listen. I hear, but I don't listen. Listen, we know what's right. Right? We get out in the world and, you know, you go to work, you go to whatever. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. and you get out there and you get faced with a situation and you know that something about that situation is wrong. And listen, Romans 2:15 says your conscience starts talking to you. And your conscience starts telling you, you know what, this isn't such a good idea. You know, And you do this. You look around and see if anybody else is looking. Because you know you should not be, you know, ought to be in that situation to begin with. But we don't listen to our conscience anymore. We become hardened and we kind of just take our conscience and we kind of just set it aside and we use it when it's convenient, but we don't listen to it like we used to. You say, what is that? Oh, it's simple. That's backsliding. I mean, the Lord, in Romans 2, the Lord gave us a conscience so that we would know, so that we would be able to tell and have some sort of an indicator of what we're doing and where our life's going. And we set it aside and don't listen to it like we should. Say, what is that? That's backsliding. It's simple. You know, welcome to the club. We all do it, right? We all face it. Am I the only one here? Some time ago, Teresa and I were dealing with a girl that had an eating disorder. And basically she was, you know, not eating and kind of starving herself. And we sat down with her, and there's a lot of things going on. Sat down with her and talked to her and, you know, told her, hey, listen, you can't keep doing this. I mean, I know every girl wants to be thin. Every young girl wants to be thin and look attractive. And they have that pressure. And, I understand that. And that's a reality. And unfortunately, all too many people fall into the problem. But she was struggling with the problem. And, you know, we sat down and talked with her and told her, said, listen, you can't keep doing this. You're going to ruin your health. Right? You're going to ruin your health. Your body is going to start, you know, your body's going to start feeding on itself and, you know, you're going to start losing muscle and, you know, your organs are going to start shutting down. And we thought she understood, didn't make a bit of difference. And then a few weeks later, she wound up going off and seeing a counselor. And then she came back to us and she was had this great revelation about her eating disorder. And she said the counselor told her that if she didn't quit doing this, that her body was going to start digesting itself. And we said, yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you. What's that? that just reminds me. We were in the nursing home. This is several years ago. And there's this old Swedish lady, sweet lady, would come down to the services all the time. And she had apparently been witnessing to her roommate, and finally, after several weeks of trying, or a couple months of trying, had gotten her roommate to come down to the services. And so we were preaching, preaching on salvation. And the Swedish lady, during the middle of salvation, I forgot who it was that was preaching. It wasn't me, because I remember watching her do this. But looks over at her roommate, and she goes in this very Swedish accent. She goes, "That's what I've been trying to tell you." One of those classic moments. But so we're involved in this. We said, that's what we've been trying to tell you. She said, yeah, but you didn't use the word digest. But folks, listen, that's how we get. That's how we get. You say, what is backsliding? What is, you know, we have this revival thing. You know, you call this thing a revival. Why do you need a revival? Well, because you're backsliding. What is backsliding? Well, I'm not committing murder. I'm not doing drugs. Whatever. Right? What is backsliding? Hey, listen, backsliding is, you know what? We don't listen like we should listen. We just don't listen like we should listen. I mean, somebody gets up here and Brother Stephen gets up here and preaches a message that at one point in time would have really moved you to action. Oops, that's the next point. And you don't listen. And I mean, you hear and you understand the concept, but it doesn't click. And the danger is, well, I'll get to it here in a second. It doesn't click. I mean, we do that spiritually. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6. This is a good verse to mark in your Bible. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we've had sermons preached on it before. I remember sermons on this particular passage back when we were in South Carolina 20-some years ago. This passage ought to be one of the passages in the Bible that really sticks out in your head and you go back to time and time again. Jeremiah 6, and you can go through there and you realize that Israel's in a mess, once again. But Jeremiah 6:16, very famous passage of Scripture, says this, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." Brethren, listen, we're walking a dangerous, dangerous ground when we get to the point where we refuse to listen anymore. We refuse to listen. It's, we're setting ourselves up for all kinds of trouble. Listen, the Lord has given us some good ways to walk in. And yeah, many of them seem old-fashioned and outdated. I understand that. And you know what? The truth is, they are. It's a shame that they are. It's a shame that those ways in our modern society seem old-fashioned and outdated. Instead, they should just seem the natural and right way to do things. But the natural and right way to do things is old and outdated. And they do seem old-fashioned. I understand that. But they are the good way. I mean, Jeremiah 6:16 there says, "Seek ye the old paths." You know what? Go back and look for the old ways. I'm not talking about the old bad days. I'm talking about the old ways, that when you used to be on fire for the Lord. The old ways when you look back and you read about martyrs and you read about, Christians in times past, and you go through your Bible and you read about, don't read about the times when Israel was failing. Read about the times when they were succeeding. Right? And seek those paths. I mean, listen to them. Listen to them. Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. What is backsliding? It's just simply we refuse to listen like we used to listen. It's not complicated. We just don't listen like we used to listen. And the second thing, what is backsliding? Second thing is we refuse to act like we used to act. We refuse to act like we used to act. Take a look where you're in Jeremiah. Go over to chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, look at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 5 says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return." They refuse to return. Now, backsliding, yes, in simple form, is a refuse to listen. We don't listen like we ought to listen. But the second part of it, just boil it all down to a couple simple points. The second point of backsliding is just, you know what? Even if we do hear, and even if we do listen, maybe now we refuse to act, where in times past we would have acted. Told you about, the lady that was having that difficulty and going to a counselor, and yeah, but you didn't use the word digest. But even after that, there was a refusal to act. There was a refusal to act. Brethren, we get that way in our Christian lives. We get that way in our spiritual lives. You know, we come to church and we hear somebody stand up and preach, or, we come to a revival and you get somebody new. And chances are, Brother Peacock's going to get up here and he's going to preach, and I'm sure he's going to be entertaining. I'm sure he's going to have some good jokes. I'm sure he's going to have some gut-wrenching illustrations. And those are good things because they get our attention. Because it helps make it click. We listen. And finally, it registers. Even though we heard the same thing that we heard before, finally it registers and it clicks. But brethren, that's not the end of it. When Brother Peacock gets up here and starts preaching, and you come to service and he deals with something that you need to deal with, listen, you need to listen, but you need to act. You say, what is backsliding? Backsliding, we don't listen. And part two, when we do hear, when we do realize, we choose not to act, not to take action. It's easier not to take action. It's easier just to keep going the same way we've been going. It's easier just, follow the yellow brick road, you know, walking on down, blindly going the way we've been going. We refuse to act. So listen, the Lord brings you in and shows you things out of the Bible, shows you things out of preaching, shows you things out of, teaching, Sunday school. Listen, the Lord will deal with you when you're reading a song. When you're sitting there singing and you read the lines of these. I mean, look at the words when you read these hymns. When you sing these songs, I mean, oh, give us homes, right? Built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favor. I mean, read the words. And the Lord will deal with you out of something like that, and you'll listen, and you won't pay attention. And so the Lord will come along in a different way and give it to you in another venue. Maybe, an illustration in a sermon that gets to you. Maybe a life illustration that gets to you. And the idea is the Lord's going to continue to deal with you and continue to press you and continue to, in some cases, chide you to try to get you to what? To act. To try to get you to act. To try to get you to do something. So we come in here next week and we start this revival, and Brother Peacock is going to get up, and brethren, he's going to preach to us and he's going to talk to us about things probably 95 to 99% of that we already know. You know, I mean, maybe, and I hope this is the case. I hope that everybody in here does pick up something new along the way. But that's just like icing on the cake. He's going to talk to us about things that we already know. And what it is the Lord using him as a call to act. A call to act. We can refuse to act. Jeremiah 8:5 said this. It said, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. In the next couple of verses it says, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? It said, no man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? That is, the Lord says, nobody even bothered to sit back and ask, okay, Lord, where did I go wrong? What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth to battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. The Lord says about Israel here, he says, listen, the dumb animals and the dumb beasts of this earth know what's going on better than my people. And sometimes, folks, it's because we don't listen and we don't act. It's simple as that. You say, what is backsliding? We don't listen like we used to. And then we don't act upon what we hear like we used to. It's not hard. Like I said, save for 41 years, a lot of experience in it. And it happens the same way every time. It's just, you got to kick yourself in the rear end. You got to get your mind back, and you got to remember what it is we have here. What are we doing? I mean, what's the whole purpose of meeting here on a Sunday morning? What's the whole purpose of being saved? What's the whole purpose of trying to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, who are we? What are we all about? What am I? Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Listen, we backslide. And about the time you think that you're not the one that backslides, you're the one that's backsliding. Because we all do. But you know what? Like I said, we kick ourselves in the rear end, we get back up, and we continue the course. We seek the old paths. Why do we backslide? Why do we backslide? Now, I don't know if statistically these are the top three reasons why. But if they're not, I'm sure they definitely rank up there towards the top. Why do we backslide? I just came up with three simple reasons we ought to watch out for. One, complacency. Just due to complacency. That is this. Complacency is a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger. You know what happens, folks? We get comfortable. We're here in our own little world. We got our own little church, you know, we have people around us that think like we do, and we forget sometimes the danger of what's really out there. We just kind of get complacent. We kind of sit back and rest, and things are going okay, and, you know, life isn't throwing me a big curveball right now, and we get complacent, and we just come to the place where we say, you know what, I'll just read my Bible later. I'll get to it later. I'll pray later. You know, there's other things that I've got to do. There's something else that needs more attention. You know, I don't think that I'm not backsliding. I'm doing just fine. We get complacent. We just get complacent. It's not hard to figure out. 2 Peter 3 says, Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know what our problem, folks, is? We backslide because we just get complacent. Not because we make a conscious decision to follow the devil. We backslide because we just don't make a conscious decision to follow the Lord as vehemently as we once did. That's just simply backsliding. Another reason. Why do we backslide? I'll tell you why you backslide sometimes. Sometimes you backslide because of an injury. Sometimes you backslide because of an injury. You get out there and you say, I don't believe brother or sister so-and-so said that to me or did that to me. You know what? It has an effect. And you tend to, you tend to get discouraged. You tend to walk away. You tend to pull back. Sometimes, folks, you backslide because of an injury. Sometimes you get back there and you're sitting in the, in the pew back there, and you think to yourself, I don't think anybody really cares about me. I don't think anyone really, I don't think anyone really cares about what I'm going through. And you get hurt over it. You get hurt over it. Listen, folks, people backslide because of injury. We backslide because we can get complacent, and we just let things go that we ought not let go. But sometimes we backslide because of an injury, because something's gone wrong, because we've been hurt in one form, fashion, or another. Listen, there are folks, there are many, many folks that should be sitting in the pews of this congregation right now that aren't here because of an injury. You say, well, maybe they injured themselves. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they did. But it's still an injury, right? It's still an injury. Maybe they didn't injure themselves. But listen, did we do everything we could do to try to apply some salve? I always heard that term, salve. Put some salve on it. Put some salve on it. And, growing up, watching these Westerns, right? Put some salve on it. I'm going, salve? What's that salve? In high school, I worked on a dairy. I milked cows. And there was one shelf up in the barn. And up, there's this little white container up on top of the shelf. It must have been up there for about 100 years. It was ancient. One day, I was cleaning the barn. I looked at it, and I saw it up there. And I reached up, and I grabbed it. And I looked down, and it said salve. it was an ointment that you put on wounds. It's an ointment that you put on wounds. That was a, kind of a common term for it. But it's an ointment that you put on wounds. Listen, did we do everything we could do to apply the salve? You say, why do folks backslide? Sometimes it's complacency. Sometimes it's just injury. Sometimes people get hurt. Maybe from their own selves, maybe from somebody else, maybe from circumstances that are completely and utterly beyond their control. It could be 1,000 different things. But what do we do about it? What do we do about it? Jeremiah 8:22 says, Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? You know what the Lord asks? Wait a minute. We got people that are injured all around here. Where's the salve? Where's the physician? How come my people aren't recovering? Folks, people backslide because of an injury. And you know what? Rather it's self-inflicted or not, it's our duty, it's our responsibility to watch and apply salve. I mean, we got to care for one another. I mean, I know the Lord's the great physician, right? Amen? But folks, we got to doctor one another too. Because people backslide when they're injured. People backslide when they're injured. And the third reason that I have is just due to weariness. Due to weariness. People backslide because they get complacent. They don't pay attention like they should. They forget the importance of what this Christian life is all about. They forget, you know, it kind of gets put on the back shelf. It becomes too mundane, too familiar. People backslide and they fall away from the Lord because they become injured through whatever reason, through whatever means. Right? They become injured. Self-inflicted or not, they become injured. And folks, people backslide because they become weary. And you think to yourself, oh, didn't I just get finished doing that? You know, Saturday evening rolls around and it's time to go to prayer meeting. Just that prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Right? Sit down. Time to read your Bible. Oh, I just got through reading my Bible. We get weary. Listen, sometimes the battles of life make us weary. It's been a rough week. All right? It's been a rough week. In fact, I appreciate you guys praying, but you know, my grandfather's in the hospital right now, and you guys know most of the story behind that, but they found him yesterday. He had decided he was going to go check the mail. So he got on the scooter and went out. And it's probably 50, 75 yards maybe from his house out to the road. And went out there and apparently had some mild strokes or something along the way. And they found him. I guess he'd been sitting out there for about 4 hours slumped over in his chair. And they hauled him into the hospital. So it doesn't look good. So my mom's going through all that. And I'm sitting here. And I appreciate you praying for him. Honestly, you know what I appreciate you praying for? Appreciate you praying just the Lord take him. You know, my grandfather was a World War II vet, a Marine, a machine gunner, of all things. Landing on those islands in the South Pacific, he survived Tarawa. He landed at Tarawa. And when I was in Marine Corps boot camp, they told us Tarawa was the bloodiest battle in Marine Corps history. Not very many people came back. He's got a Japanese flag. A Japanese flag. It's in this wooden box, and this box is a puzzle, and you've got to like pull the right combination of things to get the box open. And he opened it for me one time years and years ago when he remembered how to open it. And he opened it for me, and he pulled out this Japanese flag. This Japanese flag was from a soldier that he killed, and he took it from that battle. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, and we don't know exactly how old he is. I think I told you that story too, but he's got to be somewhere up around 90, late 80s, you know, 90-ish, that time frame. And I'm sitting here thinking about this, thinking about my grandfather, and going, he's lived a long life. And you know what? I mean, he was a Marine, a machine gunner, and in World War II. I mean, he's a hero. And I'm thinking about the condition that he's in right now. And you know what? You get weary. You get weary. And he's been weary for a long time. Grandma died about 10 years ago, and you know what? Life just really wasn't worth living after that for him. And, you know, I've been praying, Lord, okay, if it's time, take him. If it's time, take him. You know, he doesn't need to go on like that. He can't, right now, he can't even lift his arm up to drink water by himself. You know what, folks? Sometimes you get weary. You say, why do you backslide? Why do we backslide? Why do we backslide? Because sometimes the battles just get long. Sometimes the battles just get long. And we backslide. you know, every one of those, every one of those excuses, you know, due to complacency, due to weariness, due to injury, you sit back and you look at yourself. And you say to yourself things like, I'll do it later. I've got something else that I'd rather do. I don't think it's really my problem, somebody else's problem. Or you think, you know, I don't think anybody cares about me. I don't believe what brother so-and-so did to me. You think of weariness, you think, I did that just not too long ago, and I deserve a break now. You think of weariness, and you think, I just don't think it's worth the fight anymore. I don't have the strength to fight anymore. You go through there, and you look at the reasons that you backslide, and you know what all of them have in common? They all have in common, I. Me. It's all about me. It's how things around affect me. I this, I that, I this. And you hear, you know, you hear the old the cliche, there's no I in team. To which some smart aleck finally replies, yeah, but there's a me. So even when you're trying to teach a good principle, people still twist it around and make it about themselves. Right? Go back to Proverbs 14:14 real quick. Proverbs 14:14. And take note of this. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You want a surefire way to backslide? Yeah. Worry about number one. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. You look at everything and think it's all about you? You're on the road. You're on the track. Because that's what the backslider does. He's always worried about himself. Always worried about himself. You start looking at things and you think that, you know, why can't I have my way? Why can't I do this? How come I don't get to do this? Gee, that's unfair. So-and-so gets to do this. How come I can't do this? Right? Well, what about me? How come I don't get the break like so-and-so got a break? Don't worry about that. The Lord will give you what you need. The Lord will take you through the path He wants to take you. The Lord will let you face the challenges He wants you to face. It may not be the same challenges as the person sitting next to you. But you get your eyes focused on yourself and you get to thinking about, you know, how unfairly you've been treated and how all the, you know, all these bad things in life have happened to you. And if I would have just had this and this happen along the way, then I would be in such a better position and I could do this and I could do that. And, you know, I would be earning more money and I would have a better job. I'd, you know, I'd be married or not married or whatever the case is. And it all winds up being just about you. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Brother Stevens was preaching or teaching the other day. I forgot if it was a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, but go to Philippians 3:10. He mentioned this passage in passing, Philippians 3. And it gave me cause to sit back and kind of reflect and remind myself once again of why it is we're here and what it's all about. Because it's easy to start thinking about yourself. It's easy to start thinking about yourself. Every one of us do this. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. And you know what I was reminded of very simply? I was reminded of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ had it a lot worse than what I've got it. he's had a lot more people turn against him than you and I have had turn against us. He was despised by people a lot more than you and I are despised by people. He was rejected by people a lot more than you and I are rejected by people. Right? He was treated much less fairly than you and I are treated. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ had it much worse than we do. And it gave me cause to sit back there and think and remind myself, right? Just remind myself once again, you know what? It's really not all that bad. Amen? I mean, even in the bad times, even in the valleys, even in the, you know what? It's still really not all that bad. The Lord's still on the throne. The Lord's still good. I mean, the Lord's still gracious. He's still merciful. He's still dealing with us. He's still trying to correct us. He's still trying to get us to go down the right path. He hasn't forsaken us. It's not all that bad. Even in the worst of times, it's not all that bad. You say, life didn't treat me fairly and life didn't turn out the way that I hoped it would turn out when I was a little kid. Yeah, no, it didn't. But that doesn't mean it's all that bad. And I hesitate to say this because I don't want the tape going anywhere. But I remember, and I'll tell you right now, my parents have changed an awful lot since this happened back when I was eight and a half years old. But I remember, about 8.5 years old, my parents split up. And I didn't like it, didn't think that was fair. It was a rough time to go through. It is. It's rough. And I was talking to my mom years later. And, she was telling me a few things that had kind of went on. And she said, I came home from school one day and I asked her a question. And I stopped about 3/4 of the way through the question. And I looked at my mom in the face. And this is me. I said, oh, never mind, Mom. You don't know anything. I'll ask Dad when he comes home. I had to have been second grade, third grade. I was about third grade when this happened. Young, stupid kid, right? My mom said, I knew right then that this was not on a good course. And she said, I knew that I had to get you and your brothers out of that scenario. And you know what? I love my dad. My dad's changed. My dad is he's a deacon in the church, and he's been married to, Sandy, my stepmom, for ages now. And I love my dad a lot, and he's changed an awful lot from the way he was back then. But I look back then, it would not have been good for me to grow up like that and continue down that path. So you look back at some of the things, you say, life hasn't treated me fair. And you say, I had to go through life without a father. And I look back and I go, you know what? Mom did a pretty good job. Because had things stayed the same, I would have been a lot different. Worse than what I am now, if that's, imaginable. So you look back and ultimately, yeah, maybe life didn't turn out the way that you dreamed that it would turn out. But you know what? It's not all that bad. The Lord's still good. The Lord is still good. The Lord still takes things and deals with us if we listen. And the Lord still tried to get us down the old path, seek ye the old path. And the Lord does expect us to act. But life's not that bad. And we got to remember that. Because we get too consumed sometimes with ourselves. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. And folks, when we get to that point, when we get there, we're a long way down the road to backsliding. In fact, we have backslidden. It's just a matter of how far we're going to continue going. See, the idea is, no, break out of that mold. Break out of that mold. Hey, listen, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not. I don't mean this to come across wrong or be mean or anything like that. But listen, you could die right now, and several people would be sad and would miss you. We really would. But you know what? Life would go on. People would grow up. They'd get married. They'd have kids. If the Lord tarries long enough, pretty soon, you or me, people won't even remember. It's not about me. It's not about you. Now with the Lord, he looks at you and deals with you, yes. But listen, the world doesn't revolve around us. We're a part of it. And you know where you get the greatest joy? And we've got to close things down. You get the greatest joy by serving the Lord. And you get the greatest joy out of life by giving of yourself to others. And by looking out for other people. You want to make a huge impact? You want to make a huge impact on people around you? If you want to be remembered, hey, be remembered as somebody that helps other people. I mean, look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Amen? Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Listen, it's about the Lord. The backslider in heart should be filled with his own ways. Philippians 3:13 says this. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Listen, why do we backslide? We get complacent. We get injured. And we do. We get weary. And we start to focus on ourselves when that happens. And folks, we recover, and then we got to close down here. We recover from backsliding. We call it a revival. Amen? We call it a revival. And that is, we bring new life back to where things were kind of dull and dead before. Look at Psalm 85:6 as we close down things down here. Psalm 85:6. Psalm 85:6 says this. It says, "Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Say, how do we get out of this this backsliding, perpetual backsliding that we're in? I tell you what we do. You know what? We stop thinking about ourselves, and we rejoice in the Lord. Like I said, folks, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You know what? It doesn't matter who gets elected on Tuesday. I mean, I hope it's the right people. I pray it's the right people. And I know having the right people in would certainly be at least a little more comfortable than having the wrong people. And I agree with that. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to take care of me irregardless. And we're going to be about his business irregardless. And we're going to be walking down a path, hopefully the old path, irregardless. And you know what? We start looking for, start looking at our lives, and we humble ourselves and come before the Lord, start looking for the fruits of the Spirit in our lives once again. You know what? We take our ears and we open them up and we listen like we used to listen. Amen. That's all. You get up to this revival next week, even leading up to it, you know what? Open your ears, listen like you used to listen. All right? When the Lord taps you on your shoulder, when the Lord is dealing with you about something, listen, act upon what he's telling you. Don't refuse to act. Act like you used to act. And like I said, the thing to remember, that passage back there in Jeremiah 6, listen, seek ye the old paths, the good way, and walk therein. Amen? Seek ye the old paths. It's a good way, brethren. It is an old path, I know, but it's a good way. And walk therein. So as we close down here this morning, like I said, 41 years as a Christian. A lot of backsliding practice. But by the grace of God, you know what? He's given me a lot of practice of pulling myself up out of it, too. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And it all starts with just listening and acting. A lot of reasons why we backslide. We get complacent, right? We get injured, right? We get weary. But there's a remedy. It's stop thinking about me. And let the Lord deal and do with me what He wants to do with me. Because ultimately, it's about Him, not me. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for this Sunday morning. I do appreciate the chance to, Lord, just to get up here and have opportunity to open up the Bible and be reminded myself of a lot of things that that we face, Father, as individuals and as a congregation. I do pray that You'd help us in these areas. Help us, Father, to fight this whole idea of backsliding. I know that it's at one point or another inevitable. But Lord, give us the solutions for it. Give us the ability to break ourselves out of the mold. And Father, as we get ready for a revival coming up here in a week, Lord, I pray that it would be a time where we really do experience revival in our own hearts. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, go ahead and take a break. We'll get started in a bit with morning service.